We promise that way when we take refuge. If you take refuge in Buddha, then we say that I always pray to Buddha. I always prostrate before Buddha. I always remember Buddha. Whatever I see, any kind of bad actions, whatever I see, any kind of obstructions or difficulties, problems, frustrations, these frustrations and difficulties, obstructions, are not real. You just meditate, you just think Buddha in front of you, and all these will be purified. All these will disappear. Because there is no reality outside. There is no obscurations actually. But it is created by from our mind. Now if you give deep devotion and faith to Buddha, then Buddha always helps you. So that is what you have to do. Think over Buddha's quality. Think over Buddha's teachings. Then you study yourself. Try to listen. And then think over it. And then practice it. Meditate on it. And then you can realize that, oh, it is useful something. It's really compassionate. Buddha is really compassionate. It's really useful to us. He will always guide us. In that, with that feeling, if you prostrate or pray before Buddha and saying that I will never leave you until that enlightenment, I take refuge in Buddha only for 1 day, 2 days. That is not a meaning. Many people may think that way. They take refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. They preserve it for 1 or 2, 3 days, or 1 month, 3 months, or 2, 3 years. Then after that, they leave it. It doesn't mean that way. You must take refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha until the enlightenment. When you attain fully enlightenment, then you can help boundless living beings. That's more powerful. When you take refuge in Buddha, then it is advised, don't go after worldly gods and goddesses. They may be very powerful, but they are in this samsara. Even though they are gods and goddesses, but they are within this samsara. They are also within the dualistic mind. So if you go after them, if you take refuge after them, that is against of taking refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So, when you take refuge to Buddha, you should avoid, avoid praying or relying fully in the worldly God. It doesn't mean that they don't have powers, they have powers, they are more powerful than you. They are more powerful than me. But it doesn't mean that they will help you in the near future, in the next life. They are so powerful, they can help you, they can bestow you some, give you some blessings. But that's enough. That can be exhausted. That can be finished. That is not the ultimate gain. So why not take refuge to Buddha, who is the supreme teacher? And he will never deceive you. But these gods, worldly gods, can deceive also, can help. But when he dislikes you, he may disturb you. So that is why it is better not to take refuge to those. If you have taken to refuge in Buddha, then you have to avoid these things. And always try to pray to Buddha and prostrate before Buddha. That's very important. Now, praying or prostrating before Buddha means if you see a Thangka painting or if you see a Buddha statue, then you find this is a Buddha and you just pray and you prostrate before it. This is done by normally all the peoples. But what you have to do is even the single piece of cloth worn, the collar, this yellow collar, or red collar, or the blue collar, advised by Buddha himself. So if these collars are thrown here and there, then you just treat it. These are the cloths of Buddha, and these are inseparable of Buddha. You just pick it up and keep it in some high place or some safe place, some clean place, and respect them. That means you are taking refuge to Buddha. Even if the broken statue, if you find some broken pieces of the Buddha statue, that broken pieces is also Buddha itself. So you must respect to it. And you must just pick it up and keep in a safe place. So these are the things that you have to do. That's very important. Then, if you have taken refuge in Dharma, Buddha and Dharma now. Now, when you take, as soon as you have received the vows of the taking refuge in Dharma, then you said, you promised, saying that from today onwards, I will never harm any living beings. That is very important. When you take refuge in Dharma, you promise that you will never harm any living beings. You have to avoid harming others because all living beings are Buddhas. They are your mothers. They have been your mother in past lives. So that's why you must respect them. You must help them. Don't harm them. Even if you are unable to help them, don't harm. That's very important if you take refuge in Dharma. And now there are some things which you have to do or which you have to avoid. Avoid means you avoid harming other living beings. Don't harm any living beings. Avoid that. Avoid doing some bad things. Don't do that. Now, to do something means whenever you see any kind of teachings written on the piece of paper, those teachings are Buddha's teachings. Even if it is in Chinese language or in English language or in Tibetan language or in Sanskrit language, whatever the language it may be, it doesn't matter. If there is a word about Dharma, each and every language has the word of Dharma. So, don't disrespect. Don't put the precious writings of Buddha under your body. Don't cross, don't jump over them. Try to respect them. Then, those are the practices that you have to do when you take refuge in Dharma. That is the teaching now. That is the path. Then comes Sangha. Now when you take refuge in Sangha, Sangha is those disciples of Lord Buddha who are practicing, who are practicing to dispel all the obscurations, accumulating good merits, accumulating wisdom. So, those persons are also they are also equally important, like Buddha. It doesn't mean that the Sanghas are very low. Sangha is equal to Buddha. Because normally speaking now, when you take refuge in Sangha, then you must respect to all the monks and nuns and to those persons who are practicing Buddha's Dharma. They are the symbolic Sangha. For example, we are the symbolic Sangha. We are not equally to Buddha, but we are symbolic. But this symbolic, we can't say that this is not Buddha, this is not Buddha, this is not Buddha. We can't say that way also. Buddha may come in a different form. Buddha used to come in a form of Sangha. Buddha used to come in a form of monk. Buddha used to come in a form of nun. Buddha used to come in a form of layman, laywoman. So we can't judge a person. That is why when we see, when we take refuge in Sangha, then we must respect all the monks and nuns and all the practitioners because they are equally important. Now in Buddha's teaching, Buddha Shakyamuni's teaching, he used to give an example to this Buddha Dharma and Sangha. Now Buddha, they say like this, Buddha is just like a doctor. And Dharma is, the doctor used to check the patient and he checked it and then he know the disease. What kind of disease that patient has. Buddha know it, Buddha understands it, the doctor know it. And then doctor used to give, he just write on the paper prescriptions of the medicine, saying that you must take this medicine, this medicine, this medicine. He used to write the name of the medicine in the paper, piece of paper. There is a prescription. Now that prescription is the Dharma. That prescription is the Dharma. Now, the patient, he took this piece of paper and went to a shop and bought the medicine. He took it to the house, to his house. And then there, now, if he neglects eating the medicine, then his disease cannot be cured. Then normally, the patient who are very serious, they don't like eating the medicines. They dislike eating medicines. The flavor, the taste is not so sweet, so that is why they don't like it to eat. So at the time, they need one person to guide. A nurse is needed now. Nurse used to come to that patient, and nurse always comes in time, saying early in the morning, he has to take one medicine. Or at midday, he have to take one medicine. Or in the evening, he have to take one medicine. If the doctor prescribed like that, then nurse always used to come in time and give the medicine to the patient. And patient doesn't like that, but the nurse always try to give the medicine with compassionate mind. With kind-hearted, she used to give the medicine to the patient. In this way, the nurse always looks after the patient. So this nurse is Sangha. Now you just imagine, Who is important? The doctor, the medicine, the nurse. Who is important? Who is the most important in these three? Without doctor, there is no medicine. Without doctor, there is no nurse even. Right? Now, without medicine, the doctor can't do anything. Now, without nurse, again, even though doctor advised him to eat the medicine, and that if there is no nurse, then doctor's prescriptions and the medicines are also useless. So that is why nurse is also important. The medicines is also important. The doctor is also important. Therefore, we say that Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, the doctor, the prescription, the nurse, all are equally important. Equally important. They are equal. We can't say that Buddha is higher than the nurse. The doctor is higher than the nurse. We can't say it that way. Because nurse is directly related with the patient. The teacher or the Sangha is directly related with the living beings. So, in Mahayana teachings and in Vajrayana teachings, we say that the teacher is more important than the Buddhas. It doesn't mean that teacher Buddhas have no power. Buddhas are flawless. They are fully awakened. But because of our dualistic mind, we can't see Buddha. We can't contact with Buddha. We can't talk face to face with Buddha. But we can talk with the teacher. We can talk with the Sangha. We can talk with the monk. We can talk with the nuns. So they are more important than the Buddha. When I say that they are more important than Buddha, it doesn't mean Buddha is useless. Dharma is useless. I'm not saying that way. But they are also very important. But one guide is necessary. For example, if you want to go to a big museum in a new country, then it is very difficult for you to go reach that museum. Even though someone told you about that museum, you know the history, you understand how big it is, how useful that library is, you understand that. But you wanted to go in that museum. Now, if there is no guide, if there is no guide who knows personally, who has been that place personally, who knows that, and without a guide, we can't reach there immediately. It's very difficult to find that place. So in this way, the Sanghas are very important again. They are the guides who always used to take you to a good path, and then they will take you to the liberation, take you to the deliverance, nirvana. So that is why taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are very necessary for all the beginners, for all the Buddhists, for all living beings. It is good enough to think over and try to understand the meaning and then go after them. I'm not saying that you have to take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I'm not forcing anybody else. Buddha did not force anybody else. Buddha said at the time of death, at the time of his parinirvana, Buddha used to, many of his disciples come to him. They tried to weep, saying that if you go away, then who will look after us? Many of the disciples, they request him, please live long and give us the teachings forever. And then Buddha said, it is impermanent. Even if I go, it doesn't mean that there is no guide. My teaching is there. What I taught you is equal to me. Try to follow that. Try to go after that. Try to study that. Then you are not without a teacher. Even though I am not there, my teaching is there. I showed you the path. And Buddha, at last he said that, I showed you the path. Now it is up to you people. Whether you want to go to Nirvana, whether you wanted to become Buddha or not, it depends upon you. But I have given the guide. Now if you follow this, definitely you will reach the Buddhahood. You can go away from this samsara. Buddha said so. So Buddha's teaching is still alive. Through the teachings of Buddha, if you practice well, then definitely it will lead you to Buddha's pure land, or you will become Buddha. So it is necessary to take refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. Now that taking refuge is also, you must think that it is not only for 1 year or 2 years, or only for one life. It's not like that. You have taken this vow, saying that I will practice, I will preserve this vow. I will take refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha until the enlightenment. That means, if your way of thinking, if your way of intention is big, then the result will be very big. In general speaking, many people, they say that, they used to ask, in schools, most of the teachers, they do ask this question, what is your aim? Then normally they say that, I want to become the doctor. I want to become a scientist. I want to become a teacher. I want to become a master. Some say that I want to become a driver. Some may say that I want to become a peasant or farmer. So in this way, it depends upon their aims. If their aim is very high, then the result will be very high. If you aim that, for example, 4 stages, if your aim is that to go up to this, then even if you are unable to reach here, you can reach up to here, because your aim is so high. And if your aim is so small, saying that, oh, I can't do that, it's a very big one, I can't do that, I can reach up to this level. If your aim is only up to here, you can't reach up to here. It is below that. So it depends upon your aim. It depends upon your intention. If your intention is big, then the result will be normally big. If you saw 100 apple tree, if you want 100 apple tree, you must sow 100 seeds underground. Then many, many apples will come. And if you think that you want many apples, but you sow only one seed, then you won't get many apples, because you have sown only one seed underground. So it depends upon your intention. So through that, if you take refuge, then it is very useful. Now here, when we take refuge, according to Buddhist teachings, it is necessary
Before taking refuge, you visualize yourself. You have to think something which are very important. When you take refuge, you think that Buddha Shakyamuni is in front of you. And you think that Buddha Amitabha is in front of you. And Buddha Shakyamuni or Buddha Amitabha or Guru Padma Sambhava, whoever it is, it doesn't matter, because all Buddhas are equal. If you like Guru Padma Sambhava, Guru Rinpoche, then you just think that in front of you Guru Rinpoche is there. If you like Buddha Amitabha, then you think that Buddha Amitabha is in front of you. If you like Avalokiteshvara, Chenrezig, then you think that Avalokiteshvara is in front of you. Because all Buddhas are equal. They are equally compassionate. There is no difference at all. All Buddhas are equal. So, from the very beginning, it is very important when you take refuge, you just think Buddha Amitabha or Buddha Shakyamuni or Guru Rinpoche is in front of you. And he is your teacher. Now you have to think that way. He is your root guru. Now when I say here root guru is that person who always used to guide you to show your Buddha nature. Who always tried to make you to understand your realness, the Buddha nature within you. That is your root guru. Who always guides you. It doesn't mean that Buddha, your root guru, it doesn't mean that he give you all kinds of comfort, foodings, lodgings, and comfortable, luxurious lives. It doesn't mean that way. That is also very useful to you. It may be very useful to you, but that is only the material health. That is not the ultimate health. Now, the root guru is such person who always used to guide you and helping you to understand the real nature of your mind. If he gives you the recognition of the real nature within you, then he is your root guru. We can't say that all are not our root gurus. There is one person who always helps you to understand your real nature. We say he is the real master now. There are many types of masters. The masters who teaches you the ABCDs from the very beginning, that is also your master. The master who always used to give you all kind of comfort, that is also your master. The master who always used to teaches you other things, that is also your master. But the real root guru, root master, is that person who teaches you the real, to understand the real nature of your mind. Now you have to think that Guru Rinpoche is your root guru. Buddha Amitabha is your root guru in front of you. Or Buddha Chenrezig is your root guru in front of you. You think that way. And he is surrounded by many Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. You think that way. Because your root guru is inseparable of all the Buddhas. If you think that way, then the blessings, whatever the blessings bestowed by your root guru, is very strong. If you think that your root guru is simple one, he don't know anything, but he guides you, that's enough. If you think that way, he has no powers. He don't know the future. He don't know the previous life. If you go on thinking that way, then your root guru is helpless. Because of your thinking, the way of thinking is wrong, not the root guru's power. If you treat that as real Buddha Amitabha, if you treat your teacher, your master, as a real Guru Padma Sambhava, then his blessings is immeasurable, immeasurable. We can't measure it. So it depends upon your way of thinking. Your intention is more important. So here what I mean to say that when you take refuge to Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, you must think that your root guru is in front of you. In many teachings, in Mahayana teachings or in Vajrayana teachings, they do say that in front there is your root guru, and in front, okay, in this way if you can say there is a refuge tree in front of you. You are in the center of this universe. In front of you, the flower comes from there, one flower. And that flower fills the